Tulip Mania. The Ottomans and Tulips. By 1345, the House of Osman had crossed the Dardanelles Straits, and Turkish horsemen had arrived in Europe. They came at the request of the Byzantine emperor, who wanted their help to secure his throne against the usurper. Instead, the Ottomans took Greece and Thrace for themselves, and then turned most of the Balkans as well, reducing the Byzantine Empire to a puppet whose power rarely controlled more of an area than just a few miles beyond the walls of Byzantium's capital, Constantinople. It is impossible at this point to be sure just how widespread was the cult of the tulip among the Ottomans, who swarmed across the Balkans in the first half of the 15th century. The Turks of this era generally obeyed Islam's proscriptions against the public display of realistic portraits of living things. It was considered insulting for man to attempt to capture, imperfectly, one of the perfect creations of God. For this reason, there are no representations of the tulip in Ottoman manuscripts from this period. No contemporary paintings, vase decorated with flowers, or tulips emblazoned on tiles appear to have survived, if any were even made. Nevertheless, we know that gardening was a well-developed art in Persia by this time. Indeed, the garden is central to the Muslim vision of paradise. Christian clerics told their flocks that heaven was a shining city on a hill. The Arab founders of Islam, a religion that had sprung originally from the desert, looked forward to an endless garden of delight, full of pavilions and fountains, carpeted with flowers of a beauty unequaled on earth. Pious Muslims treated flowers almost as holy relics at this time, and often wore blooms in their turbans. The Turks told a story to explain why gardens were so important to them. When Hasan Efendi, a famous dervish holy man, was preaching one day, one of those who had come to hear him speak passed him a note. It inquired whether any Muslim could be certain he would go to paradise when he died. After Hasan had finished his sermon, he asked if there were any gardeners present. When one of the members of the congregation stood up, Hasan pointed to him and said, quote, "This man will go to heaven," end of quote. Immediately, the dervish was surrounded by a press of people demanding to know what the gardener had done to be certain of a place in paradise. But Sheikh Hasan explained that he was merely quoting from the hadiths, that is, the oral traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, which stated that people will do in the afterlife what they most enjoyed on earth. Above all, flowers belong to heaven. Gardeners will surely go to paradise to continue their work. At this time, the tulips of the Persians and the Turks were still wildflowers, even when they planted them in gardens. They were not yet cultivated in the sense of being systematically bred or crossed with other strains or otherwise manipulated by man. As late as the early 1500s, when the Turkish warlord Babur the Tiger counted 33 different varieties of wild tulips as he passed south through Afghanistan, the old nomad people did not seem to have encountered any garden hybrids. When Babur, who overthrew the kingdom of northern India and founded the Mughal dynasty, whose name afterwards remains a word for luxury and opulence, he planted tulips in innumerable formal gardens that he created. The bulbs he planted were all wildflower tulip bulbs. Yet of all the blooms in a Muslim garden, the tulip was regarded as the holiest, and the Turkish passion for this flower went far beyond what was appropriate for its beauty. For the Ottomans, as for the Persians, it had tremendous symbolic importance and was literally regarded as the flower of God, because in Arabic script, the letters that make up L-A-L-E, which is the Turkish word for tulip, are the same that form Allah. The tulip also represents the virtue of modesty before God. When in full bloom, it bows its head. After the proscription on images of living images was relaxed in the course of the 1400s and 1500s, tulips were often depicted in the Ottoman illustrations of the Garden of Eden, blooming beneath the fruit trees where Eve was tempted. To an Ottoman gardener, the tulip, therefore, it was one of a handful of flowers of first value. You have the tulip, next comes the rose, then comes the narcissus, followed by the carnation, and the fifth is the hyacinth. The other blooms, however rare or beautiful, were considered wild flowers and were cultivated only occasionally. For this reason, it is not hard to believe that the tulips accompanied the Turks as they swept westward into Europe. Now, I may have mentioned this at one time, but my wife and I visited Istanbul and went to the Topkapi Palace, but this would have been late May, early June, and the place had spectacular roses, which is their second level of the top five, whereas the tulips would have bloomed much earlier. So the roses were absolutely incredible. So what the palace looks like in the spring when the tulips are blooming is just spectacular. Now, the sources for this would be Tulip Mania by Dash, Tulips in the Auto-Turkish Culture of Art by De Moise, The Revolt in the Netherlands by Guile, The Book of the Tulip by Hall, The Tulip by Pavord, and Memoirs of Extraordinarily Popular Delusions and Madness of Crowds by McKay. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.